and welcome to episode 153 of the Final Siren podcast. I'm your host, Peter Williams, and I'm back again with Michael Alvaro to chat all things Pathway football. Michael, how's things this week?
Yeah, pretty good, Peter. I think you and I both are pretty buggered after a packed weekend of football in the boys and girls alike, but it's great to have it all back and underway.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a pretty busy week, and I guess it's only getting busier from here, of course. So plenty going on. We're going to run through all that kind of thing. Of course, apologies for the audio quality today. We'll be back in the studio next time, just doing it by correspondent this time. But nonetheless, we've got a cracking episode in store. What we're going to do is we're going to recap the Coates Talent League. Of course, round two underway from the boys. And then we're going to head south and west to cover the talent over in the sample and the waffle systems, of course. Everything getting going now. So without further ado, let's get stuck straight into the Talent League results, where we had our hands full with another eight games, and it all started on Saturday morning. It was the GWV Rebels 9-12-66, knocked off the Swans Academy 9-8-62 in a remarkable fourth quarter comeback. We had the Sandringham Dragons defeat the Calder Cannons 11-9-75 to 10-9-69. That was another thriller. Bendigo Pioneers 19-10-124 really dominated the Giants Academy 6-6-42. The Geelong Falcons 13-7-85 were far too good for the Oakley Chargers 6-10-46. Dandenong Stingrays kicked 10-15-75 to account for the Lions Academy 8-9-57. The Northern Knights 13-9-87 won against the Murray Bush Rangers 12-8-80 in another comeback game. The Tassie Devils 10-10-70 defeated the Western Jets 8-7-55 and then finished off the round with Eastern Rangers 16-10-106. Fairly comprehensively beating the Suns, it's fair to say, 7-7-49. Michael, plenty to digest there, but I think the comebacks are the real talking point here.
Absolutely, they are. As you alluded to, GWV, straight off the bat, the first game of the round, they trailed the Swans Academy by 26 points with 14 minutes to go. So it looked pretty much done and dusted from there. But Sam Lawler, the bottom major who came in for his first game of the year, kicked two goals in as many minutes to cut the margin. They were back within a goal at that point, and Mitchell Lloyd finished off the job with the winner for GWV. So a pretty amazing comeback there. And then Northern just about repeated the feat. They were 28 points down with 20 minutes to go in the last quarter. But Jesse Dottoli was the hero. He kicked three consecutive goals, another bottom major there. He got the Knights in front, and then the big man Flynn Riley sealed the deal. So, you can never count out those sides, I guess, from this point onwards in the 2023 season, and a couple of remarkable results for sure.
Always exciting, no matter what the level, but certainly a comeback like that will give them confidence going into the rest of the season. Plenty of footy still to go, of course, so exciting times. Obviously, round two also had a few handy players that were able to make their returns after long layoffs. Who were some of them and how'd they perform?
Yeah, well, Sam Lawler, of course, is one of them who was really tough in the midfield for GWV. He obviously kicked those two goals to essentially get him back into the game and en route to a win. So really positive signs from him. He's an absolute bull on the inside, very clean and strong for a bottom major. We, of course, had Cooper Simpson, the Dandenong co-captain, get back into action for the Stingrays. He copped a tag, and the Lions Academy coaches were pretty wary of him, but still managed to rack up 20 touches, six tackles and a goal. Of course, the Stingrays winning there as well. Jordan Croft, the Western Bulldogs father son prospect, came in for his first game, looked super athletic with his 11 disposals, four marks and lone goal. And Nate Caddy made a quick return from that leg break with 13 disposals, five marks and two goals, three for the Knights. He seemed to build in confidence as the game went on there and showed a few signs of his usual high flying self. So all of those players making positive returns to action. They were great to watch. There were many more, but I think those four are sort of the highlights of the round at least.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, mentioning some of the top players, obviously we're a little while away from the first power rankings just yet, with plenty of footy still to get underway, but there's a few Victorian prospects who are at least climbing into the representative fold. Michael, who's really caught your eye so far?
Yeah, I mean, it's been pretty hard to miss the likes of Harvey Johnson and Charlie Naish from a Metro sense. Of course, the latter is the brother of Patrick, who went through the pathways. We've spoken about him before. Similar kind of players. I guess Charlie's more of a forward where he has that really good footy IQ and he's a great overhead mark. I think what's been most impressive sort of conversely to what we might know about him is that he's been quite unselfish across the first couple of weeks. That's not to say he's been selfish as a bottom major, but you know, he's looked to bring others into the game and has had moments where he could win games as well. It certainly did so in round one. Harvey Johnson's been super for Sandringham. Seeing him hit the scoreboard, he's really, I guess, slippery and hard to catch as a high half forward. Billy Wilson, of course, with Dandenong, had a ripper game on the weekend, racked up a team high disposal haul and was pretty classy off half back. And then, of course, Tom Anastasopoulos. That's going to be a bit of a tongue twister for you, Pete, but he was fantastic as well on the weekend for Geelong, kicked 5 goals, and of course was our player of the week.
Yeah, absolutely he was. He was a really exciting type. He stepped up from last year. Obviously, Tom started from quarter one through to the final siren, really. I was impressed with his ability to sort of just win the ball in close, but then go forward. And I think he got very little respect from Oakley, and I think he really made them pay. He kicked 5 goals. 2 of them came in the last quarter. And quite often when you see goals kicked in the last quarter, it's about, you know, the game's done, dusted, whatever. But it was his running capacity to just get into space, and Geelong just kept going the entire time. I really liked his ability that when he had time and space, he used it pretty well. He, you know, he got to the outside. He only had the 18 touches, but he kicked 5 goals from that. So that's a pretty impressive effort in itself, and especially against a team like Oakley that do have a lot of runners. But I think at the end of the day, he was sort of symbolic of Geelong as a whole, because he just ran harder and ran for longer and dug in. Obviously copped a knock early in the game, for anyone who's seen sort of photos or whatnot, had a big patch on his face because he went in hard, copped the knock, had to come off with a blood rule, and yeah, just got back on and kept going around and doing his business. So he's clearly a pretty tough kid, and certainly was really exciting on the day. So he's definitely, for me, just looking off the first couple of weeks, he looks like that kind of draft smoky, someone who showed a few signs last year, but it's really stepped up in 2023. So looking forward to what he can do. But I guess, Michael, what do you sort of make of him as a prospect?
Yeah, I mean, you said it all. You obviously saw it up close in round two, and I had a glimpse of him in round one. He's got plenty about him, a really lively type. So, as you said, could be a draft smoky. It's always exciting watching those small forwards who have really good craft go about their business, and he knows how to find the goals. He's done that for a long time for many teams, whether that be at school football or with the Falcons. So, yeah, looking forward to seeing what he can do throughout the year.
Yeah, and there's plenty of bottom-age talent, of course, running around too. I know Oakley, for example, had quite a few on the weekend that held them up. Michael, can you touch on a few of those future stars who continue to shine and are ones to look for next year?
Yeah, so I'll sort of run through the games in chronological order. Of course, Calder and Sandy is a game that had many top prospects, particularly on the Dragons side. But Nash King was arguably the Cannons' best player in the loss. He had 23 touches through midfield. He's got a pretty nifty sort of turn of speed. He was up against Levi Ashcroft for a few stoppages, and Levi, you know, just continues to do his thing. We know what he can do. We're going to talk about him plenty over the next year or two. Of course, as you mentioned, for Oakley, the likes of Jagger Smith, Finno Sullivan and Tom Gross, they continue to go from strength to strength, and they're arguably Oakley's best three players, really. I mean, the top ages of been a little bit disappointing over the first couple of weeks, but those bottom ages coming through, as we mentioned in this segment, are really ones to watch. Jesse Dottoli, of course, the match winner we spoke of earlier for Northern. He's a pretty crafty small forward. He's pretty exciting as well. He got up the ground, but we know that he's quite dangerous inside 50. He showed that in the final term to get Northern over the line. Josh Milley, who's going to miss this week's action, he was outstanding for Eastern, just an absolute bull in the midfield. He's 194 centimetres, but moved so well. He took a screamer and kicked a couple of goals in the Rangers' big win. And I want to shout out Zeke Euland. He's actually a double underager. He had the tough job on Nick Watson for the Suns Academy, and did a pretty good job. I mean, they traded blows at times, and both are pretty quick and agile. But I thought, you know, for a player 2 years the junior of Watson, who's going to be a top draft prospect this year, he put in a really good shift. So definitely one to watch. He's, of course, the brother of Bodie, who got drafted to the Suns.
Yeah, no, there's quite a few impressive players. And just on Oakley, of course, it's worth mentioning they were without Will Lorenz, who's a pretty handy top ager, realistically their best one for the draft. So hopefully he is back soon. But before we move interstate, let's take a sneak peek at what's set to go down in round three. Obviously, we've got a couple of games that start tonight, Thursday, if you're listening just after this drops. So obviously, Michael, what's your game of the round? And I guess some of the interesting tidbits everyone should know.
Yeah, obviously, as you mentioned, two games tonight, four on Friday and one on Saturday. So a different look to the round structure, but plenty of action nonetheless, or all the same, I guess, with those seven games. GWV against Geelong is my game of the round. And that could come as a surprise to some, given there's a Sandy and Oakley fixture. But, you know, the two undefeated sides are going head to head. That's the only game with two sides with that 2-0 record. So I think it'll be a ripper. GWV at home are tough to beat. It's an interesting tidbit that they're playing their third consecutive home game at a third different venue. So, yeah, we'll see how much that familiarity for them pays off. But Geelong have been super impressive, probably one of the surprise packets of the year so far. It's, you know, we're only 2 weeks in, but they've been pretty impressive. Looking around the grounds, Harvey Thomas is set to miss. We mentioned Josh Smilly, who's also set to miss for Eastern. But there are some good inclusions. Gippsland has Lachlan Smith, Tom Hannerley and Xavier Lindsay coming in to take on Dandenong. We've got bottom ages Darcy Weeks for Western and Damon Hollow coming in for that clash against Calder there. Of course, Hollow playing for Calder. And Malik Gordon is a pretty handy in for Bendigo, who come up against Tasmania on Saturday. So plenty of players to watch there and a few nice little tidbits.
Yeah, quite a few good games. I think it'll be interesting to see how we go. It is a bit weird, though, Sandy Oakley not being the game of the round. We know how good they are, but I do suspect that Sandy will take that reasonably comfortably, as they did in the preseason. Of course, the other game that's quite interesting, I think, will be Gippy up against Dandy. Obviously, two of the ones we had earmarked preseason as a couple of potentials, or certainly from the countryside at least, that have potential. They might not be at their best at the moment, but obviously they've been able to get it done with wins in the last week or so. So obviously it's going to be an interesting time to see whether or not they can continue that form. But yeah, other than that, I think that's pretty done and dusted for the Coates Talent League. And we're going to move on to South Australia, where round two was won and done in the under-18s competition. Michael, what were some of the key talking points that came out of that round?
Yeah, well, a little bit like the Coates Talent League, we're going to start off with, I guess, a couple of players who were absent in Ashton Moyer, of course, and Ben Ridgway. So Ashton was suspended for a pretty, I guess, innocuous or perhaps even soft hit in round one after he kicked four goals. And Ridgway has a bit of a hip issue, so he's had scans recently. We'll see how much action he misses. But Glenelg still got the job done over Sturt. They won by 5 points in a bit of a thriller. They made it hard work of it. They were leading for most of the game and had to come back at the end. Anders McShane kicked two goals to be the hero there. He also filled his boots with 33 touches. So impressive stuff from him. We saw a couple of State Academy members play really well in the Westies and North Adelaide game. Of course, North Adelaide winning that one by 42 points. Will Patton down back for the Bloods. He had his first game for the year, had 27 disposals and was our player focus. So you can go check out that piece on Rookie Me Central. Kane McCaller for the Victors was sensational once again. 34 touches, 9 clearances and 1-3 in a winning effort. So he started his season in terrific nick. Moving over to Centrals, they went 2-0 with a scoreline of 6 goals and 20 behinds. Still managed to get the job done over South Adelaide. And another team to go 2-0, of course, is Norwood, who got up over the Eagles by 15 points. Up at league level as well, it's worth mentioning that Patrick Weckett is pretty much the lone, I guess, junior or draftable up at senior level. He booted a goal as Woodville was Torrens beat Norwood pretty comfortably. So some good action from the South Australian kids and still a couple more to come back to action next round.
Yeah, of course. Round three of the under-18s, of course, gets underway tonight as well. Everything's a bit early for Easter. So the weekend starts early across the country. So games will be split between today and tomorrow evenly. Moving from South Australia over to the West, the waffle season gets underway on Good Friday. Our West Australian correspondent, Charlie McCormack, put together a comprehensive preview of each of the team's top prospects this week. Now, Michael, let's run through each of them club by club, starting with Claremont. Who are some of the ones to watch?
Yeah, just a shout out to Charlie as well. He's done some really good work with that preview for the Waffle Colts season. So go check it out on Rookie Me Central if you haven't already. Claremont, though, Dan Curtin's obviously their best prospect, 195 centimetre key position player who can swing at either end of the ground. Looks like he's going to play forward this year, if preseason's anything to go by, but we know how good he is in defence with that intercept marking. He kicked three goals in a preseason match against East Fremantle, so he looks to be in fine fettle. They've got some other players, I guess, across the board, the likes of Austin van der Strooijf, Bailey Banfield, Joe Matthews, Sam van Rooyen, who, of course, is the brother of Jacob. So a few to watch for the Tigers there. And, yeah, we'll see if they can have a crack at finals.
Yeah, and you mentioned East Fremantle there. They're the next club up. Who's one of the ones to watch from them and some of the others on the fringe?
Yeah, well, East Fremantle, I think their best prospect is Cohen Sanchez, who hasn't seen much Waffle Colts football in the face of his commitments with Wesley College. But, yeah, he's a small who's just super quick and likes to take the game on. He's got some great skills. He's been playing up the grades in terms of a representative sense. So, yeah, he's definitely one to watch, has some good traits. We've got Ashton Warner also turning out for the Sharks, of course, the brother of Chad and Corey. There's the likes of James Badenuda, if I can get that out, Phoenix Knight, Chad Dunscombe, who's a midfielder in his bottom eight, or who was impressive in his bottom age year. Also one to watch is halfback Presley Campbell, who could be a bit of a smoky. So a bit of talent out at East Fremantle, who, of course, are usually a pretty strong breeding ground for AFL talent.
For sure they are. And moving up from Fremantle to Perth, we're going to look at East Perth now. Michael, what's their team shaping up like?
Yeah, well, they came fifth last season and have had a decent sort of preseason result, beating South Fremantle in one of their games by a couple of points. And they look to build off that finals appearance last year. Mitch Williams looks like their, I guess, best draft prospect. He's a big key forward, a tall forward who featured in the team of the year last time out. He booted 21 goals in 10 matches before missing the back end of the year with a knee injury. So he's one to watch. The Royals are also going to have access to the likes of Mitch Miller and Will Cassidy, who, you know, were sort of in and out of the side with school football commitments last year. Adam DeMarcy is one to watch, Bailey Maxwell as well in the ruck. So, yeah, a few prospects definitely for the Royals this season.
And heading right down south to Peel Thunder, they've got a pretty impressive player out of their crop. And, of course, always tend to have a few players around the mark. So how are you seeing their team?
Yeah, they look really strong, Peel. The reigning premiers are, I guess, on track to form an assault on back-to-back flags at Colts level. They've done pretty well in preseason as well. They're down Subiaco by 25 points in one of their games. And it looks like Mitch Edwards is going to be a really highly touted prospect this year. Of course, a big ruck who's a product of the Fremantle Next Generation Academy. He probably won't end up at the Dockers through that system, but if they get a high draft pick, they might well look at him. He's exciting. They've got the likes of Clay Hall and Reece Torrent, who are premiership players, of course, and Ethan Logan, another top ager who's pretty highly touted. I really like Hall in particular out of those three. They also had a few bottom ages come through the state program at under 16s level last year in Darcy Peterson, Joel Rush and Deanne Roberts. So look for them to impress once again in a very, very strong Peel Thunder outfit.
Perth, obviously, can they move up the ladder, and who do they sort of have that's ones to watch out of that system?
Yeah, there should be some optimism about how Perth is going to go. They haven't made finals at Colts level since 2016, but of course they've got Big Cohen Livingston, who's another NGA product, this time out of West Coast. A ruck forward, comes from decent pedigree, I believe, as a relation to Chance Bateman, of course, who was a bit of a gun for the Hawks back in the day. So he's a different player completely, 197 centimetres, pretty good aerially. They've got another AFL connection with Aiden O'Driscoll, of course, the younger brother of Nathan and Emma. So he's the next one coming through. He's a bit of a smaller midfielder, but finds plenty of the ball. He's got a good turn of speed. There's tall defender Elijah Scoble. He's one to watch. Mitch Keane is another to keep an eye on, and perhaps even Samuel Cameron, a kid with two first names, could be one who catches the eye.
Yeah, and then next up on the list is South Fremantle, of course, finished fourth last year. Who are some of the names to watch there?
Yeah, they snuck into finals, which is a pretty good effort from the Bulldogs. They've, of course, got Jacob Wan, who's probably their best draft fancy, I guess. He's another out of the Fremantle NGA system. He's a pretty strongly built medium defender who's reliable behind the ball and finds plenty of it. Another Freo NGA product is, I'm going to butcher this name. His last name is Hayden. I apologise to him, but he's a handy prospect to watch. Jordan Douglas, Ed Graham, Callum Copeland. There are a few more who might impress. They're going to bolster the Bulldogs stock. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough going to get another finals appearance, but we'll see how they go.
And Subiaco, they also made finals last year, and they've got a pretty handy draft fancy in their ranks.
They do. Colton Tholstrup is inevitably the boy that you're talking about there. He's a powerful midfielder forward who played on all three lines for the Lions last year. He sort of trialled down back as well, but we know that he's quite natural as a midfielder forward. Subiaco was pretty strong last year. They came third, and Tholstrup was a big part of that. We know that he's going to take on a key role in their side. They've still got the likes of Lance Collard, who's a pretty skillful player who was in the state squad over summer. Tyrese Clark's another one to watch. Guys like Lachlan McRae and Riley Mayfield are others who have popped up. There's also big key forward Luca Kentfield, who's played two games at senior level through preseason, so he could be one to monitor in that top age category.
And Swan Districts, of course, have an AFL Academy member a part of their group. So give us a bit of rundown to him and the rest of the squad that's come through.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty interesting squad, Swan Districts, because they went from premiers to last in the space of a year. But as you mentioned, they've got Riley Hardiman, who's our AFL Academy member. He's a hard runner on the outside, can play off the wing or half back. He's had experience at senior level as well, so he's definitely going to be their top prospect. Looking down the order, of course, Chase Martinson is one to watch. I believe he was the under-16 MVP last year for Western Australia. They've got Otis Harvey and Thomas Cathcart, who also have featured at Colts level and in that under-16 state carnival. So, you know, even in terms of those who are coming from PSA footy who are disrupted in their Colts form, Luke Kelly and Lewis Zolnia Owens are a couple to watch. So they should be, I guess, a little stronger for that experience and a couple of names coming through more consistently this season.
And wrapping up the team previews is a side that realistically you don't really go through rebuilds given that you come through young the whole time and it's always changing. But for West Perth, it could be a little bit of a rebuild because obviously they come off the minor premiership, finished runner-up. So they've lost quite a few of those older ones. How do you sort of look now to that next group coming through?
Yeah, I mean, theoretically, they should be pretty strong across each category, West Perth, given they won the minor premiership in every men's or boys level. So, you know, obviously the turnover is pretty heavy from last year, but and they also didn't have any, you know, draft age players selected in the summer squad. But Eli Alexander is one who could be a bit of a smoky. He's a mobile kind of tall forward who booted 11 goals in 8 games last year. He was one of their better players on grand final day as well. So he should be in the mix for representative honours as the year goes on. In the bottom age category, Trent Hiscox was in the summer squad. He also featured at under 16 level for his state last year. They've got the likes of Jai Skender and Mitch Lonnie coming back from that grand final side. And Odin Jones, of course, who booted 5 goals in a couple of preseason matches. So he could be one to watch as well.
Absolutely. We look forward to seeing what the kids out west can do. Of course, that's all we've got time for, though, on the latest edition of the Final Siren podcast. The action rolls on pretty quickly, so stay tuned to Rookie Me Central for all the latest news and analysis. I've been your host, Peter Williams. Michael, thanks for joining me again today.
Pleasure as always. Looking forward to getting through the girls podcast as well. Of course, Game Sense, if you want to check that out. So plenty of footballing action to fill your week with.
Absolutely. Plenty going on. So be sure to follow Rookie Me Central on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. You can subscribe to us on all your favorite streaming services to never miss an episode. That's all for now. We hope you tune in next week.